Well, hey, thoughtful leader, welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. On this show, I interview purpose-driven founders, experts, and change makers who are making a real impact in the world. Want to be a guest? Simple. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click podcast. I'd love to promote your story to our audience of over 100,000 and across over 2,300 daily episodes and counting. Want to get booked on other great shows like this? Simple. Go to podverified.com and get your free guest authority score. Thousands of hosts are looking for high-quality guests, and PodVerified connects you the right way. Now, let's dive into today's episode. With us right now, Patrick Vanderberg. Patrick, you are the Australian Cialdini certified coach. You're Cialdini Institute licensed trainer. You are a speaker. You're an author of the book, How to Hear Yes More Often. And your website is ethicalpersuasion.com.au. It's so great having you, Patrick. Thank you for joining us.
I'm really excited to be here. I think we're very much on the same wavelength.
Yes. Well, I can't wait to hear what you have to share, because already, like, I've read Influence. I think a lot of folks that are listening to this episode have read or listened to Influence, are familiar with Cialdini's work. And I'm a big fan. So do you mind? Before we get into the meat, I was so excited. I always love kind of breaking the ice and finding out, you know, what other high level leaders are into in their spare time. Patrick, what are you geeking out on lately?
I'm a little bit boring, but I do like things that move at a reasonable speed. I'm actually a certified pilot, commercial pilot, actually.
What?
So when I get a chance, I like to go out for a little spin here around Melbourne. And I love my motorcycle. Me and my wife both ride. And so any opportunity, we get out there on the Harley and enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah. So on the flying, what sorts of aircraft do you fly?
Just little ones, Pipers, Chieftains, that sort of stuff.
Nice. Well, that's what is that for someone who's never, like, if someone were saying, you know, I'm thinking about getting a pilot's license, what do you think they may experience that might be surprising to them? Like, and if they've never been in a small plane, they've only just flown commercial airliners, but they're like, you know, they've heard you talk about it, and then they start going through the process. Like, what might they be surprised with? Or what, I think a better question, what might they be delighted with if they went through that?
Yeah, well, maybe what you might not expect is that, you know, you relatively quickly get, you know, your hands on the controls and actually flying. Just go and do a trial flight with an instructor, and they'll that experience in itself, which is also, by the way, a great gift to give someone. So you get a little bit of a theory background, how does a wing work, that sort of stuff, and then you go to the plane, and they show everything, you know, about the plane and safety features, and then you get up, and they'll take off, and then in the air you'll get to fly it, move it around, and of course, you know, you feel much more that you're actually moving. In a big airline, everything's sort of dulled down, everything's delayed, where you know, little planes, like you're on a skateboard, sort of everything you feel. And yeah, it's just it's
wow. You're right. That would be a really cool gift. All right.
Awesome.
I'm thinking of,
and people don't forget it. I mean, you know,
yeah.
You can give somebody money and it just disappears.
That's right.
Give them an experience. Goes for anything. Send them on a boat cruise or movie ticket or, you know, get them in a plane.
I got some birthdays coming up in my little circle here. And that would be cool. So it's almost like kind of, you know, it's like driver's training. You know, when you're learning to drive a car, I suspect, you know, you know, you've got a stick. The real pilot's got a stick. So, you know, you're probably not going to do something too bad that they can't just grab the stick. It's like, okay, I got it. That's enough for you.
And cost-wise, I mean, you know, if you rent a jet ski on the beach or something,
yeah,
probably per hour more expensive than getting on a little plane and taking a lesson. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay, I'm inspired. Patrick, thank you so much. Let's talk about the work you do. Give us an overview of the work you do with your clients and your superpowers.
All right. So basically, I teach people to be ethically more persuasive using behavioral science. And so that is about why do people say yes to another's request? And what most professionals don't know is that there's actually a science to this, right? So we wouldn't expect an architect to do a really good job designing a skyscraper without knowing the science, right? You could probably imagine what the outcome of that is. But yet in business, we are at it every single day, and it's costing us every single day, right? If you ask for one thing one way, you get a certain amount of yeses. But if you ask for essentially the exact same thing, but in a different way, you get significantly more yeses. And so without that science, we are constantly losing out. And I can give you some examples of how powerful this is. And there's no need to lie or cheat. And that's what I always loved about it. It's powerful. And in a way, it makes the world a better place at the same time.
Yes, and what a great time for this right now. My question is, why don't more people operate this way by default?
Because they don't know they're in agony. That would be my answer.
Wow.
Because let me, if I may, let me
Please.
give you an example. And with all the stuff we always teach, it's always science-based, right? There's no gut feelings from Patrick you get from me, right? Everything we teach with the Cialdini, Dr. Cialdini and the Cialdini Institute is all research-based. And the examples are often not from the same industry that you might be in, and that's completely irrelevant. Because it's not about the industry, it's about the fact that we're dealing with people. So let me give you an example that will slap you awake in terms of being in agony. This is an example from a school. There were a number of students that were there on probation, and if they didn't raise their scores, their grades by a full letter by the next semester, they would be asked to leave, right? So stakes were high. And of course, we can agree that succeeding or not succeeding, that would have a dramatic impact on people's lives, right? Okay, so the researchers randomly split the group of students into three groups, three experimental groups. One group is not asked to set any study goals. Another group is asked to set study goals and keep them in their head. Third group is asked to set study goals, write them down, sign their name, make copies, and give one to every person in their class. Now, the question is, how successful were they? And we should say that all of them were granted the exact same opportunity, same support, same materials, same people to help them. That was all the same. The only thing that varied was this instruction. Not asked to set goals. Keep them in your head or write them down and pass them around. So, how good did they do? As in, how many people actually raised their grades enough to stay in school? In the group that didn't set any study goal, they didn't do very well. Only 14% succeeded to raise their grades high enough to stay in school. The other group that made study goals and kept them in their head, what do you think? Did they do better?
Maybe a little bit.
Well,
I'm
actually,
assuming it's not going to be that significant because you're pulling you're holding your punching hand back there with the third group. But go ahead, tell us the rest of the story.
So the middle group didn't actually do any better. Also,
Oh,
14%
okay.
only raised their
Wow.
grades enough to stay in school. But the other group, right, who wrote it down and made it public, 86% of those raised their grades
Yeah.
enough to stay in school. Now, my point here is, I mean, that's, you go like, wow, that's interesting, right? But now put yourself in the shoes afterwards of the students and their parents who were part of the first two groups. How pissed off would you be that just because randomly, because they obviously didn't know what effect this, I might have had an idea, right? But randomly you ended up in a group, and as a result of that, what is it? 72% of them had to leave the school that wasn't necessary. If they had just been allocated to the other group, they would have been in an 86% group. And this is where the penny hopefully drops, is that if you don't know the science with your business, you're in that 14% group right now. There's so much you're missing out on that other people are getting and you're not, right? So I think this really, slaps us away, because in there's so much you miss out on. And of course, I see the world through the lens of ethical persuasion science. I can't open a restaurant menu without going, oh my goodness, if they just changed the order, they would sell more. Not next week's, now. And I see that everywhere. And but yeah, anyway, I get carried away as usual.
So let's tie that now to ethical persuasion. Help me connect the dots here. Why that illustration is so critical to helping us, get more of what we want in life, particularly when we are in interpersonal dynamics.
Yeah, sorry, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, so we're talking about persuasion, and you told us a story about goal setting and letting people know, what our goals are. So I just want to make sure I've connected the dots on that, because I agree. I can absolutely see why, and I can absolutely see why. I'm inspired to be much better at writing my goals, not just keeping it up in my head, and certainly communicating it. Now I've got some skin in the game here, because I don't want to look dumb in front of my friends. So if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, because
Exactly.
that
So,
social pressure, because I don't want to be seen as someone who goes back on my word. So you're right. Like, if you put it out there, probably going to happen.
yeah, exactly. So there's seven universal principles of persuasion. Maybe that's a good place to go. So they're universal because they work in all languages, in all cultures, and all countries, which is increasingly more important because all our cultures are mixed, and it's much easier to do, especially business with people in other countries. So the example I gave before, that hinges on the principle of consistency. We want to stay true to past actions and statements that we've made, especially, and those are the amplifiers, if it was done actively, publicly, and voluntary. Right, all these principles of activators, things that turn them on, and amplifiers, things that make them go stronger. So when I set goals and I keep them in my head, well, it's not really active, it's not public because nobody knows about it, and it is voluntary, right? So I've hit one of them, but not the others. We're passing it around, qualified for the other amplifiers. So what other principles do we have? We have the principle of reciprocity, which a lot of people are familiar with. And most businesses take that as in, okay, we gotta give things to people and then they'll give back to us. And it's in essence, that's right. But on closer investigation, that's not as easy as it sounds. And I know you got this right, because I know, you brief people before they come onto your podcast, which I was really impressed with. And one of the things that you highlighted was that, if you're going to, give something to people, don't gate it, right? Often on businesses' websites, we say, oh, we have a wonderful ebook. They use it as a lead generator. We have a wonderful ebook. Just put your name in, your email address. We'll send you the download link, our gift to you. Nice try. But that's not a gift. A gift is
No.
something that's given without a requirement needing to be met. And in the case of the ebook, it was give your name and your email address first, and then we'll give you the
Then
download.
you get the goodie. No, I mean, that's like, you may as well just like, that's like opening up a store and it's just bartering for goods, right? I mean, that's, everybody does that. You just go to your local grocery store and buy. I mean, that's what you're asking for. Yeah, I agree with you. And it is surprising, how many folks want to initiate or begin a relationship with, well, I'm willing to do something nice for you, but you got to do something. You got to give me some currency first. That's tit for tat. I'm a big Bob Berg advocate and devotee as well, and that's something that Bob would likely frown upon. You're right, and then that's you, it's like you're if you begin the relationship that way, they say about first impressions. It's like, what? You don't trust me? Like, why do I have to give you something first? Like, why can't we just like openly get to know one another? And I know why, right? Because it's the marketers like, oh, I don't want to lose these people. Well, to me, that communicates that you don't have a lot of confidence.
Well,
And some of this
there's a
stuff might come
case
across
for
as a
it.
little ouchy for someone listening to us right now. And I figure that there are some people that are like, oh, I better change my opt-ins.
Well, but I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. It could be a good lead generator. But if you think, oh, I'm giving something away because I'm user, I'm going to try and be persuasive, I'm going to try and invoke reciprocation, then you're completely missing the boat. But you could combine it. I mean, why wouldn't you have a gorgeous ebook you can use as a lead generator to try and capture people's email address? But at the same time, you might have a one-page checklist. That I don't know, I'm making this stuff up. If you are a startup, right? I'm a business coach. These are the 15 things that you should get organized, regardless if you work with me, the 15 things that you should do to set yourself up for success, right? And let that list be something valuable to them, even if they don't use your services, and put that on your website and then just go, just right click and download. No email required. Now it's a gift. Right. And now we feel, hey, you were nice to me. And next time when you come, hey, we've got a webinar on. Do you want to come listen? That fact that emotional bank account of I owe you something, that's going to increase the chances, the amount of people that's going to say yes to you and turn up to that webinar.
And what did it cost you to give away, allow someone to download your thing? That's nothing, right? Nothing. Your book is How to Hear Yes More Often. I'd like to advocate for our founder-led agency owners, consultants, and coaches who end up having to do a lot more of their own sales. They are likely very good at what they do, but they have to do sales. And sales is kind of maybe a necessary evil for them, maybe not their zone of genius, but they have to do it anyway. For someone in that situation, what would you say are, and again, they're having sales conversations, they're doing account-based sales, relationship-oriented, that sort of thing. What are some common areas where you see folks in that environment probably missing the mark? Or they're like, I'd like to, what I'm hoping is maybe you can identify a couple of like really easy to fix things or easy to deploy things that might help them close more deals, not, I don't want to say close more deals, but truly allow them to do the work that they really want to do and make positive impacts in the lives of those who they serve.
Okay, I'll give you a couple of little things people can easily implement, but let me elaborate something else first. So we could identify in our relationships with people that there's three areas that we need to have in order for people to take action and move in our direction. So one thing is that we need a strong relationship. Sometimes, you email someone and they don't get back to you in 3 weeks before they get back to you. That's a signal. Right? You don't have a strong relationship. And if people don't have a good relationship with you or they dislike you, right, they'll actually actually put in effort to not deal with you, right? So relationship is a very important pillar to success. Now, it could be that they love you, but they're not sure about what it is you're offering, right? Everybody starts at a point of uncertainty about your offer, and then, we need to convince them that what you offer is right for them. And of course, if they remain uncertain, then typically price objections come up at the end because that's an easy excuse, right? So certainty or uncertainty could be your next problem. You could have a good relationship, but they're not quite sure about what it is you offer. So that's something that needs to be worked on. Then it could be that they love you, they love your product, but they're just not getting it. They're just not buying it, right? So now motivation is lacking. And so with the principles of persuasion, the particular principles that are good for building and strengthening and repairing a relationship. Other ones are good for reducing that uncertainty, and then other ones are good for motivating into action. And so we have to learn this stuff properly so we can identify, as sleuths, Dr. Cialdini would say, or detectives, I typically say, we need to see where we are, right? If you've just met somebody, it's no use trying to motivate them into action. I mean, you might get lucky sometimes. But if you strengthen that relationship first and reduce the uncertainty, you'll have a lot more success when you start motivating people. So I think those are some critical insights. In terms of some quick things people can do, and these are maybe a little bit different than people typically might hear. So in the principle of authority, one of the things is our believability, our trust factor, let's say. You can write a brochure, you can do a pitch, you can have a website, and you just talk about how wonderful you are. And we do this, and we're such great at this, and we do, we're wonderful. And your audience is going to go, well, yeah, maybe. right? There's a certain amount of believability, credibility to what you're doing. Now, one thing that I often see business owners shoot themselves is that when
In
it
the
comes
foot.
to numbers, is that they use rounded numbers. Let me give you an example. I do a fair bit of networking, and a lady stands up and she tells about her business, and she says something along the lines of, "Last month we worked with a company and we managed to save them $300,000." Wow,
Wow. Okay.
impressive. That's a lot of money, right? Cool. But now imagine if she had stood up and said, "Last month we worked with a company and we managed to save them $289,612.56." You can feel the difference, right? When it's a rounded number, obviously it wasn't exactly $300,000, it was something else, but you decided to round it off. You took a liberty, and I don't know how much liberty you took. So by using rounded numbers, you're damaging your own credibility. Where if you stick to specific numbers, it feels like you took it straight off an Excel spreadsheet. That must be the real number, right? So there's more believability to that. Another thing that I always see, especially on websites, is that people are very much in a habit of using gain language. Right. So we say, okay, this is my product, this is my service, and then I'm going to explain to you all the wonderful things that are going to happen to you when you buy my product or service. Right. With the car, you'll get there faster, you'll be in more comfort, you'll save money, and you'll help the environment. Right. That's all gain language. Well, research shows that we are significantly more motivated from the potential of losing something than gaining that exact same thing. And all those benefits, those gains, you could express those in a way of what will they not get if they don't move in your direction, right? So you'll waste more time, you'll waste money on fuel, it'll be more of a burden on the environment. Right. So now we're losing out and we're significantly more motivated to progress. I can actually tell you a brief story. There was a study where they did assessments of insulation values of homes. Right. So they did a long assessment to figure out in terms of insulation, could you do better, sort of a thing. And then at the end of the assessment, people were instructed about the results, and half of the people were told, gain instruction, as in, if you insulated your house fully, you'd be able to save, let's say, $1 a day. The other half of the people were told, if you fail to insulate, you will lose $1 a day. 150% more people were motivated to insulate their house fully under the loss instruction. Right. And so we need to learn to explain to people in a nice and tactful way what they will be missing out on if they don't use our product or service. Now, I'm not saying you should use that every single moment you can. You can also use benefits, but you do want to highlight that these are benefits that you don't want to miss out on. Right. So we want to use that fear of loss. Does that help you?
I am on your website right now, ethicalpersuasion.com.au. To our friends that are also taking a peek at your website right now, what would you recommend they click on? Obviously, there's your book, How to Hear Yes More Often. Do you mind maybe sharing next steps from this podcast?
So to learn more, we have some free information that people can access. So in the menu bar, you'll see free, and there's a couple of options. You can get, just like I explained, you can get an ebook, but there's no email required. Just right-click and download yours, and you can get a lot more than we were able to cover in this podcast today. There is also a 7-day email challenge. Of course, for that, we do need your email address. And so you get a little nugget of gold. Persuasion gold every day over 7 days, and that's a great place to start.
You're absolutely correct. I'm on your free tab right now, and I'm looking at stuff, and I didn't even give you my email address. How's that? But now you and I get to spend more virtual time together with no gate. I love it.
And something else, I've got a little bit of a community project that I wouldn't mind some help with, actually. I think it's awesome when you're in the middle of your life and you figure this persuasion stuff out, and it's a bit painful because you realize how much you've lost out on already. But I think it's beyond painful to recognize that this is a skill people need at the start of their career, not in the middle. And I mean, even the World Economic Forum has recently put out a report putting leadership and social influence, which is another word for ethical persuasion, at priority number three for businesses to develop leading up into the next 5 years. And so I'm happy to donate some of my time to help schools, business schools, universities to, I'll do a presentation and introduce young adults, let's say 15 and up, into the science of persuasion, a lot more than we've done today, to give them some clues. Because think about it, they're either going to try and enter the workforce, and they're going to try and write a job application without knowing how to be persuasive. Then they're going to go, if they get invited even, they go to an interview without having knowing how to be persuasive, and goodness, they might actually get hired. Now they're going to have wage negotiations without knowing how to be persuasive. The trajectory of their life will be altered by this. And I think it would be cool if we can catch them at the beginning of their journey instead of in the middle.
Patrick Vanderberg, your book is How to Hear Yes More Often. Your website is ethicalpersuasion.com.au. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
If you've enjoyed this conversation, I'd love to invite you to share your message with the world at podverified.com, where thousands of podcast hosts and thoughtful guests are connecting the right way. Podverified helps match you with the right stages for your level of authority. No more wasting time on brand new shows that just aren't a fit. Your guest authority score is free, and so are your first two podcast matches. Come hang out with me there. I'd love to learn more about your business, support your mission, and help promote you far and wide. Just head to www.podverified.com to get started. And of course, if you'd like to be a guest right here on The Thoughtful Entrepreneur, just go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. Thanks for being a part of this movement. We rise by lifting others.